Good morning. We come together to worship God, and it's certainly good to be here. And in our scripture reading in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the faith of our father, Abraham. If you'll turn in your psalm books, in just a moment we're going to sing together the song Faith of Our Fathers, number 265, if you'll get your song books out. 265. The sentiment there, faith of our fathers, is not just something that we think about with regard to our physical ancestors, but it's actually a biblical principle. The point that the Apostle Paul is trying to make in Romans chapter 4 is that we need to have the faith of our father, Abraham. It's actually a biblical principle as well. The argument that he is making there in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, is that Abraham believed God. This was before he was circumcised in Genesis 17. He had believed God back in chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15. So Abraham believed God. It was before he was circumcised. It was before the law was given, some 400 years before the law was given. Paul's argument here is this: that a person is right with God, and when he's talking to the Jew there in Romans 4, he's saying a person is right with God not because of the law and not because of circumcision. That's two things that the Jew prided himself in. It's in faith. Faith. Because your father Abraham, that's what made him right with God long before the law and before he was circumcised. It was faith that justified him. So Paul's argument is, we need to walk, whether Jew or Gentile, we need to walk in the steps of that faith of our father, Abraham. It's actually a biblical principle that the faith of our father, Abraham, is what justifies one. And so in the case of the New Testament, it would be faith in Christ and obedience to Him. I want to talk this morning about the principle of faith of our fathers. And those of us here this morning whose parents or grandparents were faithful Christians, we're greatly blessed. There's nothing like having parents who want to raise you right in the church. And they did that because their parents were members of the church. And there are those here this morning whose parents and maybe grandparents and maybe even farther back were members of the Lord's church, were faithful Christians, and were here this morning because they passed that on to us. There are others here this morning that didn't have that. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But to have that is a great blessing. Mothers and fathers who were faithful members of the church and maybe even passed from this life being faithful members. And they passed that on to us. That's a blessed thing. And the idea, as I said, of the faith of our father, it's not just something of a physical or historical sense. It's a biblical principle. We need to have the faith of our father, Abraham. And what's interesting about this is that maybe we were raised by parents who were not members of the church. Maybe we didn't have that. But we can have the faith of our father Abraham and go to heaven. What about a person who is raised an atheist? Just as an extreme example. Can they go to heaven? Well, not because of their parents or their grandparents. They're going to go because of the faith of their father Abraham. So it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our religious or secular background of our parents or grandparents. It doesn't matter. We can go to heaven if we have the faith of our father Abraham. But there are those here this morning whose Christians, whose parents and grandparents were members of the Lord's church, and they passed that on to us. So I want to talk about the importance of that in our life. There's some principles involved in the faith of our fathers that I want to look at this morning. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9. What is the most important thing you can pass on to your children? What's the most important thing that you can pass on to your children? What is the most important heirloom that you can give them? Sometimes a mother might want to pass on a piece of jewelry or a pendant, or it might be a piece of furniture or something like that. What heirloom do we want to pass on to our children? What inheritance do we want to pass on to our children? What's the most important thing? Well, with some people, it would be something along the lines of education. I'm going to make sure that my children get a great education. There's nothing wrong with that, of course. Or somebody might say, well, I want to make sure my kids have plenty of money. I don't want them to be like me. I want them to have more than I had growing up. I want to make sure they have plenty of money. They have a good job, plenty of money, and they've got a good education, and that they can take care of themselves. I want to make sure that I pass that on to them. Well, there's nothing wrong in and of itself with some of those things, but that's not what is important. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, thus saith Jehovah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. It's not about how much we know. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. It's not about physical ability. I want to make sure my kids, you know, they play sports and they're active and they're strong and they're healthy and all that kind of thing. Again, in and of itself, nothing wrong with that, but physical might is not where it's at. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. I want to make sure they have plenty of money. No, that's not where it's at. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he hath understanding and knoweth me. The most important thing that your children can have is an understanding and knowledge of God. More than education, wisdom, more than physical might, more than money. It's that they understand and know God. That hath understanding and knoweth me, that I am Jehovah, who exerciseth loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things, not the education, not the money, not the physical might, in these things I have delight, says the Lord. And that's what we can all pass on. When we think about the faith of our fathers, as parents, we're concerned each day. We want to make sure our children are clothed and fed and educated and things like that. But in the bigger picture, make sure that they understand and know the Lord. They're going to get it from mom and from dad. They're going to get it from both of us. That's the greatest thing we can pass on to our children. When mom passed away last year, dad lined up a bunch of stuff on the counter where my sister lives because the family was in for the funeral. And he said, take whatever you want. There were just all kinds of things. I got mom's pin. They were all just. But do you know that pin, it doesn't work anymore? I've had it 1 year. It accidentally got in the washing machine. And the ink it's all gunked up inside. It just lays there on the dresser. It doesn't even work. The stuff eventually will break, it'll rust, it'll get lost, you can't take it with you. But what my mother gave me in my service to Christ is still here. He had all these things laying out there. And we think about, well, I'm about to die, what am I going to pass on to my kids? Well, you can have this piece of, you can have the couch, you can have whatever. The most important thing is that we pass on the faith in God and service to Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want to look at five principles regarding the faith of our fathers. There's some things that we need to think about with regard to the faith of our fathers. Sometimes with regard to the faith of our fathers, it's good and positive things. Sometimes it's not so good, depending upon what kind of parents we had or grandparents. And so there's some principles that we need to be thinking about. But before we do that, let's sing the three verses of number 265, Faith of Our Fathers. And I want us to pay attention to verse number 2 in the second line. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them. If they like them. It's all about the children being like the parents. We have to pass our faith on so they, like us, can have that right life with God. But let's sing together number 265. and 65. Let's all sing. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee to as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. One thing that we need to think about here is this last statement, that if our parents or grandparents did pass on that faith, will we be true to that all the way to death? But I want to consider this morning five principles regarding the faith of our fathers. Number one, we need to test it to see if it is true. We need to test it to see if it is true. There are all kinds of people in the world, and they all have different kinds of parents with religious or non-religious backgrounds. And so just because our parents pass on something to us, we just don't accept it carte blanche. We don't accept it without question. We have to test it. You look at some of the Old Testament kings. If you'll turn back with me this morning to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The books of Kings and Chronicles tell us that a person could have good parents or bad parents. They can follow the example of their good parents, or they can follow the example of their bad parents. We have to take what is given to us and test it, because what might be given to us may not be passed on rightly, or it may not be coming from the Word of God. For example, if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning in verse 31. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother name was Azubah, the daughter of Shihi. And he walked in the way of Asa, his father, and turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah. He got something from Asa, his father. But what did Asa, his father, give him? Turn back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 2 through 4. Asa, his father, did that which was right and good in the eyes of God. For he took away the foreign altars in the high places and broke down the pillars of that and hewed down the Asherim, and commanded Judah to seek Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandments. His father told him to do the law and the commandments. That's what he followed. He happened to have a father who passed on to him the importance of doing God's Word. But not everybody's like that. In the same book, instead of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, turn over two chapters to 2 Chronicles 22 verse 1. 2 Chronicles 22 verse 1. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Joram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, or literally the granddaughter. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Now you've got one man whose father Asa gave him the example and the principle of following the law of God. You have another man, Ahaziah, whose mother was the granddaughter, was the daughter of Ahab and the granddaughter of Omri. And we know from 1 Kings 16, 25 through 33, that Omri and Ahab were wicked men. They were idolatrous men. And Ahab has a daughter, Athaliah. Okay, she's now the mother to this man, and he is following her. You can either follow the example of do the law and the commandments, or you can follow the example of your mother who's teaching you to do idolatry. Principle number one, whatever you get from your parents, you got to test it. You got to test it. Verse 4. He did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, as did the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Principle number one, whatever we get from our parents, we must examine it in the light of Scripture. We must test it to see if it is true. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. This well-known passage, how that the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received with readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Have you ever considered the phrase, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica? What made them more noble? What made them more excellent? When Paul was in Thessalonica, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 1, look at verses 1, 2, and 3. He comes to Thessalonica, and he reasons in the synagogue for three Sabbaths. Look at verse 3. Opening and alleging, the New American Standard says explaining. He took the Scriptures and he used that to explain that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead. When he got done, look at it, verse 4, some of the Jews believed. But look at verse 5. Some of the Jews being moved with jealousy, they stirred up a problem. Now listen, Paul comes to town. He opens up the Scriptures, verse 3. Okay, he uses the Scripture. Some of the Jews accept it. Other Jews don't. I don't want to listen to that. I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to check into that. It doesn't match up with what I believe, what my parents taught me. So I'm going to reject it. Look at it now. He goes to Berea. Why are those Jews in Berea different? Look at it. Verse 17, verse 11. Now, he goes into the synagogue. Verse 10. He goes into the synagogue just like he had done in Thessalonica. He's now in Berea. He goes into the synagogue. Jews. These, verse 11, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they checked it out. They looked at it. They examined the Scriptures. They didn't just say, well, hey, I'm not going to check out. My parents didn't tell me any of this stuff about Christ. And I don't want to hear it. I'm a Jew, raised a Jew. Mom and Dad taught me to be a Jew. And none of that had anything to do with Jesus Christ. And you, Paul, are telling me, I'm not going to do that. No, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, what was the difference? Look at what the verse says. They examined the Scriptures. What does that tell us about the Jews in Thessalonica? I don't want to look at the Scriptures. I don't want to look at that. You come marching here in our synagogue and you want to open up the Scriptures and try to prove that Jesus was... I don't want to hear that. I wasn't raised that way. You see that? What makes you more noble than the next guy? No, let me look at that. I want to look at that.
So they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Look at verse 12. Many of them therefore believed because they checked it out themselves. The Jews in Thessalonica, they don't want to test anything. They don't want to check out anything. Well, all I know is that that's not what my parents taught me. So Paul, not interested. But those Jews in the synagogue of Berea were more noble. Were more noble. Because they examined it. Okay, Paul, let's look at this. It's different than the way I was raised, but let me test it. They examined. That's testing. That's looking. Let's see if this is true. And then they believed it.
Principle number one.
When our parents give us something in the name of religion, you've got to check it out.
Absolutely. And that includes my parents, Larry's parents, anybody's parents. We've got to test it. We've got to look at the scriptures. We can't just say, well, mom and dad gave it to me, so it's got to be right. That is not the case. We see that in the case of Ahaziah and others. You may not have the parents that give you what you think you should, have. We have to check it out with the Word of God, saying, what was good enough for mom and dad is good enough for me. That is not the faith of our fathers. That is not what God wants us to do. When we speak, 1 Peter 4:11, we have to speak as of the oracles of God, not what our parents said or what our grandparents said. And as loving as they were, and as kind as they were, and as much as we love them, they are mistaken. And we have to get the blinders off and test it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Some Jews are so much against this that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 that when he goes around preaching Christ, some still have, as it were, a veil on their face. They don't want to look. I don't want to see the truth. And sometimes you will have a Bible study with someone and they'll say, and this has happened before with me, I see what you're saying, I see what the verse says, but I just can't accept that because my parents taught me something different. You might as well just have a blindfold over your face. Some Jews just did not want it. Look at it, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, when Paul is writing and preaching, until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remaineth, it not being revealed to them that it is done away in Christ. But unto this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth upon their heart. But whensoever it shall, or they shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that thing about baptism. I don't want to see that thing about singing without an intro. I don't want to see it. No, don't want to see it. My parents taught me different. Well, is that how we want to live our lives, blindfolded? Or do we just want to take that off and just look at the truth? Look at the truth. Truth does not fear investigation. And so test to see if it is true. Go into it with both eyes wide open. Principle number two. If in doing that, we find it to be false, we need to reject it. As loving as they were, as kind as they were, as religious as they were, our religious heritage can be false. It can be out of date. It can be man-made. It can be a host of things. And if we investigate and we find the truth of God's Word to be different than what our parents or grandparents taught us, we must go with the truth of God's Word. Think about how many millions today are raised Mormon. They're third generation Mormon. They're third generation Muslim, third generation whatever. Are they just supposed to just continue doing that? But when you try to sit down sometimes with someone like that, the Mormons will come up. They've come by the church building here when I'm studying. I invite them in for a study. You start sitting down with them. Well, that's not the way I was raised. my parents were Mormon, my grandparents were Mormon. They might, and some of them will tell you that their lineage goes all the way back to, you know, close to the time of Joseph Smith, and they're very proud of that.
Our religious heritage can be false. Look at Matthew chapter 1. The scribes and the Pharisees were just simply passing on their religious man-made traditions, and there wasn't an ounce of truth in it. And they just assumed, well, you're just supposed to do these things. And Jesus said, you're making void the word of God because of your tradition. And do you think that some of the Pharisees there in verse 1, Matthew 51, do you think that some of the Pharisees had grown up in the homes of Pharisees? Most likely. The Pharisees go back to about 200 years before the time of Christ. 150, 200 years before the time of Christ. Some of these Pharisees could have had fathers that were Pharisees and grandfathers that were Pharisees. Well, we're just supposed to keep doing it. No. Reject it. And look at the problem. Chapter 15, verse 14. If the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. They just don't want to see it. They could. Jesus worked miracles. He taught things. He taught the truth. He showed them. He gave them the way. But so many of them, no, just don't want it. He did the same thing in Matthew 23 and verse 1. He exposed the religious traditions and the hypocrisy of these men. Where did they get it? Where did they get it? It was passed on to them from their parents and their grandparents. And so by the time Jesus comes, there's at least about 150 to 200 years of this. And they were actually making void the Word of God because of their religious tradition. And He says, in vain do you worship Me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. It's empty. It's religious, but it's empty. It's wrong. Look at Acts 17, verse 16. Turn with me there. When Paul comes to the city of Athens, he sees the city full of idols. Where did these people get it? They got it from their parents and their grandparents. My parents were idolatrous. My grandparents were idolatrous. They come up here to Mars Hill or the Areopagus. They come up here to the temple. My parents used to bring me as a child, Paul. I've been coming here since I was a child. Paul says, you're in ignorance. And it's wrong. And let me set forth to you the truth of the one true God and how His Son Jesus is going to come judge you. But you don't understand, Paul. I've been coming up here since I was a child. You're wrong. The faith of my fathers is idolatry. What's wrong with that? It works. It's wrong. And here's the Jew. Wait a minute, Paul. Wait a minute, Jesus. The faith of my fathers, it works. Don't rock the boat. No, it's wrong. So if something is false, after looking at the Word of God, we need to reject it. Otherwise, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, we're just simply going to be putting our parents in front of Jesus. And who in the judgment day wants to do that? Do we really want to do that? I love my parents. You love your parents. I love my grandparents. And when they were alive, enjoyed being around them. I'm sure you loved your grandparents. But we can't put that love above the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 34, think not that I came to send peace on the earth, but I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance against his father and daughter. How? How? When he preached the truth, and some accepted the truth, and the parents didn't accept the truth, well, now we're at odds. Now we're at variance. But so be it. It's the truth that does that. I came to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And that's what happens when I just, well, the faith of my fathers, it's not in the Bible, I understand that, but I just love them too much to give it up. You and I are not worthy of Jesus with that attitude. And that's a strong statement. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But we need to understand that. Jesus first. Jesus first. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I can't think of any greater example in the New Testament than Saul of Tarsus. Raised a Jew from day one. Who got him to sit at Gamaliel's feet? a prestigious school and teacher. Who got him there? I'm sure his parents had a great amount to do with that. I want my son to go to that university where Gamaliel teaches. And this man was raised a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He excelled in his religion. But when he met the Lord, he was converted and he left that behind. And when I say out of date up here, one thing I have in mind is that there was a time in which living under the law was the way to be right with God. But when the old law passed away with Jesus dying on the cross, that is no longer the way. That system has passed. And so if I'm a Jew on this side of the cross, I can no longer try to be right with God by the righteousness which is by the law. That was for the Mosaic period up until the cross. Now I'm on this side of the cross, I have to consider something else. Many Jews didn't want it, but Paul did. And look at Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13 with me. Paul is no religious lightweight by any means. You look at this man and you look at his heritage and what his parents and grandparents no doubt passed on to him. Galatians 1:13, you have heard of my manner of life in the time past in the Jews' religion. Well, that's good enough for me. My parents had the Jews' religion, so it's good enough for me, Jesus. No, he changed. And friends, not everyone here was raised by parents who taught them the Bible truth. And when they grew up and learned that, they had to make a decision, do I go with my parents or do I go with the truth that was just taught me? And you know, sometimes that truth is taught to them by a spouse. Sometimes that truth is taught to them by a Christian co-worker or something like that. That's why it's important as brethren to make sure that we're talking with others about the gospel. Because some people have parents and grandparents who did not raise them religiously accurate or truthful. But a Christian contacted them somehow and brought them to the truth. And there are people here this morning that can tell you the story about all that and how they had to make a decision between the truth or their parents. Verse 14, I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond mine own age and of my own countrymen. This man was smart. He was good at his religion. Being more exceeding zealous for the traditions of my fathers. There you go. Well, I'm just going to stay with what my dad gave me. No, keep reading. But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me, Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, his conversion, when he separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. There's your conversion and the preaching of the gospel. Jesus appearing to him, the conversion, and then later preaching him to reveal his son in me. I left that behind. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Oh, zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Well, there's some principles that we need to learn here this morning. Faith of our fathers. Well, if it's a situation where what my fathers gave me is not right, then I need to be willing to give that up. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, as touching zeal, persecuting the church. Look at verse 5. Who circumcised him on the eighth day? His parents. My parents wanted me to be a good Jew and to be raised a good Jew. And there was a time in which that was, with the exception of the man-made traditions, that was a time in which a Jew was right with God under the law of Moses. But Paul is on this side of the cross and he needs to do something about that. And he has to make a change. And so what did he do? Verse 7, 8, and 9, he left that behind. Did Paul love his parents? I'm sure he did. Did Paul love his grandparents? Absolutely. But he had to make a decision, which is more important. Who is he going to love more, Jesus or what his parents gave him?
So he left that behind. Verse 7. Howbeit, what things were gained to me, all that in the Jewish religion, these have I counted loss for Christ. What change did he make? Look at verse 8. I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. When I came to the knowledge of the truth, I had to leave all that tradition of my fathers behind. Are you willing to do that? There's some here this morning that have. There may be some who haven't. You're going to have to make a choice. Principle number 3. Faith of our fathers. If it is true, we need to follow it, of course. If it is according to the Word of God, we need to follow it. In contrast to Paul, who was raised by parents, and he was heavy in this Jewish religion, and he had to make a drastic change. Look at a sort of a contrast. Look at Timothy. Turn with me to Acts 16. Here's a young man, and we're told in Scripture that he was a Christian. And he got his faith from his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And he's a Christian, you see. He obeys the gospel. And it came to pass also that Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple. This is Luke's way of describing a Christian in the book of Acts. A certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewess that believed, but his father was a Greek. Not only is he getting his faith from his mother and his grandmother, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, but possibly his father, who was a Greek, he wasn't getting anything from him. Here we have a case of where children come into the relationship. One's a believer, the other's not. That's going to be challenging. That's why it's important to marry a faithful Christian. Because when you bring children into the relationship, one's a Christian, one's not, you're going to have that tug of war going on for 18 years. But Timothy listened to his mother and his grandmother and got his faith from them. And he got it from a babe. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, he had learned the scriptures from a babe. And now he grows up and he has an opportunity to obey the gospel. He does that. He becomes a Christian. He listened to what his mother gave him. He listened to what his grandmother gave him. And if it's true and what they gave him was true, then he followed that. And that aided him in becoming a Christian. We need to follow the religious heritage of our parents if it is true according to the Word of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. We read in the book of Proverbs where Solomon begs his son, listen to the commandment of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. If what we examine is true, according to the Word of God, we need to put it into practice in our lives. Young people, listen to me this morning. What your parents are giving you, I know enough about your parents to know that what they're giving you, as far as I know, I don't know about the private lives of everybody, but from what I know, they're giving you for what's in the Bible. They're giving you the truth. They're giving you what's in the Word of God. You listen to that. You heed that. You follow that. Don't ignore that. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. It's talking about someone who is giving you the principles from the Word of God and you listen to that. Don't turn your back on that. Proverbs 6:20 through 22 says the same thing. Paul says, be imitators of me as I also am of Christ. Philippians 4:9, 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul told others, follow my word and my example. There are things that are passed on to us by our parents, by Bible class teachers, elders, gospel preachers, loving members of the church. You follow that. Hebrews 6:11 and 12, we're to imitate the faithful. Hebrews 13, verse 7. The third principle is that if what is being passed on to us is true with the Word of God, we need to follow it. Principle number 4, and this is extremely important. When we talk about the faith of our fathers, we need to test it. If it's false, just being unbiased and clear thinking and eyes wide open to the truth, if it's false, we need to reject it. If it's true, we need to accept it. But we need to take it a step farther. When we accept it, we need to make it our own. Because that's the only thing that is going to get us through life being faithful all the way through. I cannot be a Christian because my dad was. Just because my dad was. I cannot be a Christian just because my mom was. Well, why are you a Christian? I don't know. My mom and dad were. That's just what I am. I have to make it my own. And here's why. There is no such thing as proxy religion, where you get into heaven just because your parents were good Christians. We get into heaven because we are good Christians. We are faithful. We are consistent.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think it's interesting that a lot of times we read verse 5 where Paul talks about the faith of Lois and Eunice that was passed on to young Timothy. But have you ever read the next two verses? This is kind of interesting. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1, 5 through 7. Our religious heritage that we get from others needs to be made our own. We have to know what the Scriptures teach. We have to believe what the Scriptures teach. We have to be faithful. We have to be here on the times that we assemble because we want to be here, not because somebody's dragging us or somebody's making us. Now listen, early on, when children are real little, what is the obligation of parents? We make them do things. We make them come. We make them do this. We make them do that. But long about junior high and high school, we need to be, and especially college, we need to be thinking along the lines of they have to be doing it themselves because they want to do it. They have to make it their own. It's not proxy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the verse that we commonly read. Having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. So he gets his faith from his mother and his grandmother. But keep reading the next two verses. For which cause, the faith that you have in you, for which cause I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. You, Timothy, have to be stirred up. You have to be faithful. You have to be right. You have to be a good young preacher. You have to be doing what you need to be doing. It's not just about what you get from your mother and grandmother. It's about you being stirred up. You being faithful. You being right. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. The word there literally means to stir into a flame. Get that fire going, you know? Well, wait a minute. Just having the faith of my mother and grandmother, isn't that enough? No. You have to be inwardly stirred up and right and using the gift of preaching and whatever else Paul had in mind with that. This is extremely important, brethren, as parents. We need as much as possible as we raise our children here, as we come to the assembling things, raise them, talk with them, teach them, especially talk with them. They have to sing themselves. They have to have the song book open themselves. They have to have the Bible open themselves. They have to pray themselves. It has to be them. Now, when they're real little, we're doing it for them. I remember when ours were real little, we'd open the song book for them. Okay, bow your heads and pray. So you're doing all that. When they grow up, they're doing it themselves. Because one principle of the faith of our fathers is eventually we have to make it our own. Our heritage needs to be our own. It needs to be real to us, not just because our parents were doing it. Recently in the high school class, we had some exercises where I wanted them to write on a piece of paper why such and such is wrong. Why is abortion wrong? Why is fornication wrong? You see, why is lying wrong? Why is drinking and dancing? You tell me. You express. You use the verses. You tell me. I wanted them to make it their own, not just because, well, Mr. Chris says it's wrong or my parent. I need to know why it's wrong. I need to be able to express why it's wrong or right, whatever the case might be, whatever we're talking about. We have to make it our own. And so we have to be ready to give an answer for what we believe. So eventually, and again, junior high, high school, especially by college age, you're starting to make it your own. That way, when my mom and dad are dead and gone, I'm still serving the Lord. I eventually made it my own. I was taught. I learned. I came to God, you see.
The new law, it's to be in our hearts and in our minds. It's my own, you see. And when David was about to die, he told his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, you love God with all of your heart. You love Him. You put Him first. Solomon was not going to exist. Well, just because my dad was a good guy, I'm going to be okay. David knew, no, you have to be right. You have to put a priority on your life and serve Him to the best of your ability. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, the fifth principle is that we need to pass it on. We need to pass it on. That which is true to God's Word, we need to pass it on to our children, our family, and our friends. There may be someone here this morning who doesn't have children. There may be a single person. There may be a married couple without children. Well, is there anything to pass on? Absolutely. There are others around us. There are family and friends that we pass the truth of God's Word onto. Our religious heritage that comes from God's Word, not just a tradition, is worth passing on. More important than the piece of furniture and the little pendant and clothes. Well, my mom's clothes, you know, my dad's clothes. They end up wearing out. You take them to Goodwill or in time, they just get tossed. What do we pass on? Genesis 18, 19, the Lord said to Abram, I know that He will pass on the commandments to His children. In Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, the psalmist says, I'm going to teach the next generation. I'm going to teach the children of the next generation. We have to pass it on. And so we must use our time wisely. That's why in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, speak of Him in your house. When you rise up and when you go to sleep, God's Word needs to be in the family. We need to be passing it on. Joshua said in Joshua 24, 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a limited amount of time to pass this on. We have to work as hard as we can. Do you remember, turn with me to Joshua chapter 2 and then we'll close. Do you remember that the text said that the Israelites, Judges chapter 2, the Israelites served the Lord all the days of Joshua and then He died? All the people served Jehovah all the days of Joshua, verse 7. And then he died and they buried Him, verse 9. And also all the generations were gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah. Oh, what happened? Faith of our fathers didn't get passed on. And in one generation, not two, but one. You know how far apostasy is away in your family? Do you know how far away? One generation between you and your children. That's it. Somebody dropped the ball. They're serving the Lord, following the Lord all the days of Joshua, the people that are contributing. And then there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. How did that happen? Somebody dropped the ball. Some parents did, and they didn't pass that on. And so, parents, let's use our time wisely. But again, we may not even have children. Concerned Christians, use our time wisely to teach others. Whether it's children, Proverbs 22, 6, right? Train up a child, Ephesians 6, 4. Or whether it's us teaching others, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Teaching others the truth. We have to pass on the faith of the truth of the gospel to others. Well, I appreciate your time this morning. Faith of our fathers, it's a beautiful thought. It's actually a scriptural thought. But number one, you need to test to see if it's true. Number two, if it doesn't pass the test, if it's found to be false, you need to reject it. As hard as that is. Can you imagine being raised all of your life, pretty much all your life, one way? That's all you've ever heard. That's all you've ever seen. And then someone to come along with the New Testament scriptures and begin to open up, and you're going, that's completely different. That's no doubt very challenging. I haven't had to experience anything like that. It's got to be very challenging. It's got to be very difficult. But it can and must be done. If it's found to be true, follow it. Make their faith your own. We appreciate what our parents gave us. We honor that. We appreciate that. We're blessed by that. But we have to make it our own. And then last of all, it's important to pass it on to others. There may be someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel. Maybe you need to begin by coming to the truth for the very first time. Raised religiously, no doubt, a lot of good things from parents and grandparents, but you still haven't obeyed the truth of the gospel the way it needs to be done. This morning can be a great time to do that. Let us all think about the importance of the faith of our fathers, primarily the faith of our father Abraham, and it's faith and belief and obedience in Jesus Christ that saves. If we can encourage you to make your lives right with God in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?